trouble, see I'm home.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. Today, it's just me, Lucy. I will be doing another one of my favorite husband episodes. I heard from Erica that you guys really like these, and I'm hoping that remains true to this day, because another one's coming on up. Erica's really busy, she's got some work, and life has been just incredibly crazy for me and my son, and we've been in and out of the doctors, in and out of the hospital, so life has been crazy. So I thank you guys so much for sticking with us and being patient and just supporting us through our bits of time where we need a little bit of a respite to get our life in order. Anyways, back to my favorite husband. The episode I'm going to be discussing and then letting you guys listen to is Liz Changes Her Mind. It's episode number 50 from the radio series My Favorite Husband. It was broadcast June 24th, 1949 on the CBS radio network. And this is what the episode Lucy Changes Her Mind was based off, which is the next one that we will be discussing together. Just a little rundown and reminder of our main cast. We've got Lucille Ball, Richard Denning, Gail Gordon, Babe Bernadette, who plays Iris, Ruth Parrott, who plays Katie the Maid, Bob Lamont, and then of course, as our guest star, we have Frank Nelson, who does also appear in the episode of I Love Lucy, and does just an amazing job. I so appreciate his performance as a waiter, both on the radio show and on the TV show. The synopsis for this episode is pretty much the same as that of Lucy Changes Her Mind. Liz has trouble making up her mind. George decides that she has to finish everything she starts. I'm not really going to go into detail, obviously, about what you're going to hear because you're going to hear it. But I will note some of the similarities because this episode, at least certain scenes of this episode, is almost word for word the same as Lucy Changes Her Mind, just different people saying them. So, for example, when they get to the restaurant, Liz, Lucy says, "Does everyone have everything they need?" And here George and Ethel say the same thing. They say, "I have three knives." Iris and Fred say the same thing, and they say, "I beat ya, I've got a full house, three forks, and a pair of spoons." And then the next scene where, you know, Lucy sneezes or Iris sneezes, feels a draft, wants a new table, Rudolph and Fred say the exact same thing where they say, "Stand by for another troop movement." In both the radio show and the TV show, Lucy and Liz are going through their desk in the morning. This is kind of where the episodes start to differ a bit, but a funny thing of note, or an interesting thing of note here, is that Liz talks about a newspaper that was given to her by Katie, and the headline is McKinley Assassinated. William McKinley was the 25th president of the United States. He served from 1897 until his assassination, September 14th, 1901. And if you kind of think about it, this would be a long time for her to have this newspaper if it was given to her when the assassination happened, and also would be older than her, I believe. The paper would be 48 years old at the time of broadcast. But maybe Katie held on to it for a while because she wanted to use the recipe, and then she passed that recipe on to Liz. Who knows? We've got to suspend disbelief a little bit, right? Lastly, I will share one final fact that I find kind of interesting, and then I will send us into the episode. So anyways, the scene in both Lucy Changes Her Mind and in this episode where Liz continues to change her mind at the restaurant and order exactly what other people are ordering comes from a personal story of the producers from this show. So in Laugh, Luck, and Lucy by Jess Oppenheimer, he's quoted as saying, "Another time, when Bob and Madeline and I went to lunch together, Madeline ordered a ham sandwich. Then Bob ordered veal chops. Before I could give the waiter my order, Madeline told him, 'Wait, That sounds good. I'll have the veal chops. Then, as soon as I gave my order of roast beef, Madeline said, wait, forget the veal chops. I'll have the roast beef instead. That episode inspired a segment of My Favorite Husband entitled Liz Changes Her Mind, in which Liz drives a waiter crazy by constantly changing her order. The scene worked so well that when we transferred it to television in Lucy Changes Her Mind, we left it virtually intact, even to the point of casting the same actor, the marvelous Frank Nelson, as the harassed waiter. Anyways, that's it for me. I really hope that you enjoy this episode and enjoy this format. Again, I thank you so much for listening, commenting on our videos, things like that. Keep sending us emails. We do respond to them. Anyways, I really hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L-O.
The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca pudding. Yes, sirree.
And now, transcribed, Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. If you were a little bird looking down the main street of the town where Liz Cooper lives, you'd see a strange sight right about now. Cars are pulling out of the way. Pedestrians are scurrying to the curb. Dogs and small children are cowering against the buildings. For coming down the street is an automobile with Liz Cooper at the wheel. She signals for a left turn and goes straight ahead. Now she's making another signal. I don't know what that means. Oh, she's waving at George, who's waiting in front of the bank. Now she pulls over to the curb and comes to a gentle stop.
Hi, George, I'm here.
So I see.
Say, I didn't do a bad parking job, did I?
No, only two wheels are up on the sidewalk.
Well, come on, we're late and it's my fault. Get in.
I can't.
Why not?
The front wheel is on my foot.
Oh. It is not. Now, come on. I'm sorry I'm late, dear. Were you waiting long?
No, just a few hours.
Oh, you're so funny.
Liz, what was the idea of signaling a left turn and then going straight?
Well, I was going around the block, so I'd be headed the right way, but I changed my mind.
You should have a special signal of your own, which means, as you were, I changed my mind. Why can't you make a decision and stick to it, Liz?
I do.
Oh, sure. I'll bet I know why you were late. You couldn't decide which dress to put on.
No, smarty. I put on the first dress I took out of the closet.
Well, then why were you late?
I didn't like the way it looked, so I changed it.
I thought so. Oh, Liz, I don't think you've ever gone through with anything you've started. Why do you change your mind so much? I don't.
There's a perfectly logical explanation. I'm a woman and you're a man.
Well, what's the difference?
Now, let's not fight, George. Where are we meeting the Atterburys for dinner?
The green room.
We can't go to the green room.
Why not?
I'm wearing my blue dress. I'll clash.
We're going there. They're waiting for us.
Well, I don't want to go there. What stoop decided on the green room anyway?
You did.
Oh.
Oh, we're in luck. There's a parking space. You can pull in right there.
Okay. Oh, there's a closer one up the street. I'll go over there.
This is where I came in. Take this one, Liz. Finish one thing you start.
George, this one up here is much closer to... Oh. It's a fire plug.
No.
Well, I'll back up and take that first one. Oh, look, someone's sneaking into that place. I saw it first.
Liz, will you please make up your mind and do something with the car?
Okay, dear.
Now what? Why are you getting out?
Oh, I just made up my mind what to do with the car. I'm going to let you park it.
I hope they're not angry about waiting. Hiya, folks.
Hello, Liz. Hello, George, boy.
Hello, George. Hello, Liz, girl. Well, I'm sorry we're late. Well, let's get some menus in order. I wonder what's good.
Try the roast beef. It was delicious.
You've eaten already?
No, he's fooling. Ha ha, Rudolph. Now shut up.
I'm hungry.
Well, let's get a waiter. Here comes one. May we have a... Oh, well, here's another one. Waiter, are you the... Well, I'll get this one.
I'll lay 3-1.
Waiter, if you don't mind, we'd like some,
Reminds me of an inscription I once saw on a waiter's tombstone. It said, St. Peter finally caught his eye.
Well, here's a waiter I won't miss. Waiter.
Yes?
We'd like some menus.
Well, let go of my tails and I'll get you some. I'll be right back.
Oh, look. Some people are leaving that table by the window. If we move over there, we can have a view while we're eating.
Remember what I told you, Liz. This table is fine.
Oh, come on, George. You'd like to move, wouldn't you, Iris?
Well,
You'd like to, wouldn't you, Mr. Atterbury?
Well,
See, George, it's 3-1.
But our stuff is already here.
Well, we'll take it with us. Iris, you carry the butter plates. Mr. Atterbury, the napkins. Yeah? George, here, you take the water glasses, and I'll carry the silverware. Hurry up. Someone else is heading for it.
All right.
Ah, good. We beat them. Everybody pass the things around now.
Here's a plate of water, Iris. Hand me a glass of butter.
Has everyone everything they need?
Yes, I have 3 knives.
I beat you. I have a full house. 3 forks and a pair of spoons.
You'd better call the waiter. He's looking under the other table for us.
Ollie, Ollie, oxen free! Oh, there you are.
Yeah, we'll order over here.
Sorry, this isn't my table.
Oh, come on, wait on us.
All right, here's the menu.
Let's see. Oh, everything looks so good. I'll have the,
Sorry, we're all out of,
Very amusing. I'll have the roast beef.
One roast beef.
What would you like, Iris?
I think I'll try the lamb chops.
Yeah, one lamb chop.
George, what looks good to you?
Lamb chops, huh? Oh, that sounds good. And they're not fattening either. Waiter, change mine to lamb chops, please.
Yes, ma'am. 2 lamb chops.
That's 2 for each of us.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't want too much fat on them, but I like them thick.
Hey, would you like me to trot the lamb by? You can pick out the chops you want.
Well.
Liz, don't make a scene.
Well, go ahead, George. You order.
I'd like the sirloin steak.
Yes, sir. 1 sirloin steak. How would you like it?
Rare and thick and juicy.
Right. And you, sir?
Well, I think I'll have a
nice... Gee, George, you made that steak sound so tasty. And...
Yeah, how would you like it, madam? Well, medium or rare?
Rare.
I'd like the pork chop.
Yes, sir. Now, what would you like to drink? You order last.
Coffee.
Coffee for me, too.
Milk.
And what would you like, madam?
Pork chops, huh?
Oh, no.
Would it be too much trouble to change my order?
Why, no. Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, I think I'd like pork chops.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, why don't you write it down?
I wrote it down for you when he ordered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's see if I've got this straight. Lamb chops for you, a steak for you, pork chops for you, and a new eraser for me.
You know, with all this talk about pork chops, they sound sort of...
Now, you keep quiet, Iris. We We've had enough changing of mind.
Yeah, I'll get the appetizers while you fight it out.
What's the matter with you, Liz?
Well, I couldn't help it, George. Everything everyone else ordered sounded so just ginger peachy.
Fine thing. Everyone's staring at us.
Who is?
That couple right there.
The ones eating fried chicken?
Yes.
My, doesn't that chicken look good? I think I'll...
You wouldn't dare.
Now, forget it.
Oh, who wants pork chops?
You'll eat them if I have to give them to you intravenously.
Some fun. Go out to dinner and can't even choose what you want to eat. I think it's a...
Bless you. What's the matter? You catching cold?
Yes, there's a draft here from this window.
Oh, well, here, change seats with me.
No, that won't do any good. There's an empty table over behind those potted palms.
Stand by for another troop movement.
Sit down, Liz. We're staying here.
I'm afraid we're making a scene.
Do you want me to catch my death of cold, George? I'm not staying at this table.
Yeah, here we are. Shrimp cocktails.
Don't stand up, please. Hit the waiter.
Ashamed of yourself sneaking up behind me and hitting me with a tray.
Liz, I've never been so humiliated in my life. The Atterburys probably won't ever go to dinner with us again.
I'm sorry, George. I guess it was my fault. Everybody seems to think so.
Poor Mr. Atterbury, with shrimp cocktails all over him.
He sure looks silly.
Well, you didn't help any trying to pull that shrimp off his face.
Well, how'd I know it was his nose? Put cocktail sauce on your nose and see what it looks like.
All right, all right.
His nose looks like a shrimp without cocktail sauce.
Liz, this has been a very tiring evening. Now, let's go to bed.
All right.
Well, what are you standing there looking in the mirror for?
I can't make up my mind if I should put my hair up tonight or not.
That does it!
Well, George, why are you looking at me like that?
I can't make up my mind whether to spank you on my right knee or my left knee.
Spank me?
Liz, I'm sick of this inability of yours to make up your mind. Now, why are you so wishy-washy?
I can't help it. My father was a wishy and my mother was a washy.
No mood for jokes.
I can see that.
Whoever started this idea that women have a special privilege of changing their minds.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Well, I don't go for it. And as far as I'm concerned, from now on, you're the same as a man.
I am?
Yes. Now, what have you got to say about that?
Let's go down to the club and have a steam.
No, I mean as far as making decisions and getting things finished is concerned. Starting right now, when you decide to do something, you're going to do it and not change your mind.
Yes, George.
And once you start anything, you're going to finish it. Understand?
Yes, George. Oh, I just love you when you're so dominating.
No, never mind.
I give you my solemn promise, George, and I'm going to begin right now finishing what I started. Kiss me.
Now, what for?
I started to kiss you this morning and the telephone rang.
Okay.
Oh, George, you're so right about this whole thing. Come on, let's finish that again.
Mrs. Cooper, you've been flying around here all morning. What in the world are you doing?
Katie, last night I went to the George Cooper finishing school.
Huh?
I promised George that from now on I'd finish everything I started. I'm even going back and finish all the things I ever left undone.
This I gotta see.
Katie, when you hear what I'm going to do now, you'll drop dead.
What?
I'm going to clean out the hall desk. Oh, get up, Katie. Come on, I threatened to clean out that desk for years. You can help me.
I'm not touching that desk till you spray it with DDT.
Oh, it's not that bad, Katie. You're exaggerating.
I am not. It's the only desk I've ever seen where the pigeonholes have pigeons in them.
Come on, let's go. We'll open the middle drawer.
Ooh, it's stuck.
I don't wonder. It's so crammed full of junk.
Well, help me pull it open and then jump out of the way. One, two, three. Not as bad as I thought.
How long has it been since you cleaned it out?
Well, not too long. There's a newspaper on top of the pile. Let's see what it says. McKinley assassinated.
What?
Oh, I remember. Iris Atterbury gave me this paper. It has a recipe on the back.
Well, where'll we start?
Well, first, let's get rid of these bundles of... Oh, Katie, look what I found. Our love letters. Oh.
Oh, now, Mrs. Cooper, don't start reading those now. Oh, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, that George.
Let's get started with the...
Oh, I called him my little cupcake.
That's nice. Now, about...
He called me his cream puff. He said he liked the way my crust was filled.
Please, let's get this desk done.
Wait a minute. Listen to this letter. George, when you read this, I will be far away. I am going home to Mother.
Now, there's a real love letter.
Oh, I know what this is. I wrote it after our first quarrel. Listen, I never want to see you again, you big...
Well, don't stop now.
That's all there is. I didn't finish it.
Well, why not?
Well, just as I was writing it, I got a wire from George saying he'd gone home to his mother.
Did you ever get back together again?
Katie, gee, just think how different things might have been if I'd finished this letter and sent it to George. Hey, wait a minute.
What's that gleam in your eye for?
Well, I promised George I'd finish everything I ever started, and I started this letter and it isn't finished.
You're not thinking of actually finishing it and sending it to him.
I certainly am. If I don't finish this letter, then I'm breaking my word to George, and he wouldn't want me to do that. Get me a pen, Caney. Ain't I a stinker?
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. Tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
Yes, sirree. The Jell-O family has yum, yum desserts for everybody's family. And for hot weather treats, you just can't beat Jell-O puddings in those three wonderful flavors. Jell-O chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla pudding. They're made with milk and nourishing, but they take only about 5 quick minutes to prepare. Try delicious banana fluff for dessert tomorrow. Just prepare one package of Jell-O vanilla pudding as directed. Fold the hot pudding into one stiffly beaten egg white, add a diced banana, and chill. Top with a dab of whipped cream. It's delectable, foamy light, and luscious. Pretty as a picture. All three Jell-O puddings have real, rich, homemade goodness. So get 3 packages for your weekend desserts. Jell-O chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla puddings. A trio of treats.
J-E-L-L-O.
And now, back to the Coopers. A few minutes ago, Liz, under strict orders from George to finish everything she starts, came across an old letter she once started to write to George, telling him that she was leaving him. Obedient wife she is, Liz is going to finish it and send it to George.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, you're not really going to send it to him.
You heard the man. I certainly am, Katie. I'm merely obeying orders. Now, let's see. George, when you read this, I will be far away. I am going home to Mother. I never want to see you again, Gee, it's hard to choose.
You want me to suggest some?
No. I'll just say you big brute. There you are. Signed, tearfully, Liz. Now, I'll mail it special delivery so he'll get it this afternoon.
How do you think Mr. Cooper will react when he thinks you're leaving him?
I know exactly how. He'll come rushing home and beg me to stay. He'll think I found out something he's done.
Well, suppose he hasn't done anything.
Katie... When a man's wife is leaving him, he doesn't say, did I do something she found out about? He says, which one did she find out about? Just wait till this letter's delivered and watch Georgie come marching home on his knees.
last game of darts we have time for. Have to do some bank business, you know.
You know, it was a wonderful idea of yours to put this dart game in the recreation room, Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, thank you. Now, take the pin points out of the darts and put them back on the counters.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. It's almost the end of the day.
That's right. 2:45.
Pardon me, Mr. Cooper. Here's some mail for you. I thought you'd want it.
Thanks.
I thought you'd want it.
Thanks again.
What was that?
That's my new secretary. She's so new, I haven't even found out her name yet.
We'll wait till she lights someplace, then ask her.
Well, let's see what this important mail is.
Why, Cooper boy, that letter's perfume. Oh, you devil, you. Who's it from?
Yeah, I'm darned if I know. Listen, dear sister, 2 weeks from now, we're holding our annual powwow at Old State U. Won't you be there to greet your sisters of dear old Delta Upsilon Delta? What the heck is that?
Well, don't you know, sister?
No wonder it's addressed to Mrs. George Cooper, care of me.
Well, I wondered how long you'd been powwowing with the girl.
Delta Upsilon Delta, D-U-D. Oh, that's Liz's sorority. Doesn't Iris belong to the same one?
Yes, she's a dud, too. Iris got her invitation yesterday.
Look, tonight, why don't we talk our wives into going? It'll do them good to get away from us for a week.
Good idea. We'll insist that they go. Well, boy, it's almost quitting time. Let's go out the back way. I don't want the employees to see me leaving early.
Mr. Cooper, here's another letter that just came for you. Special delivery at... Mr. Cooper? Oh, I guess they're gone. Well, it's on his wife's stationery. I guess she'll tell him what's in it when he gets home. I'll give it to him tomorrow.
Oh, Iris, I can hardly wait for George to get home. Liz Cooper, you didn't really send that letter to him, did you, girl?
I certainly did, and I'm going to have plenty of fun with him before I break down and tell him the truth.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Oh, here they come. I'll bet he's terribly upset.
Oh, no, yes. He, doesn't sound too upset.
Well, he's probably hysterical. Watch what he says when he comes in.
Hi, Liz. What's for dinner?
Well, that's it, George. Keep up a front. Hide the grief that's in your heart.
What are you talking about?
It smells good, whatever it is.
Go ahead, George. You can speak in front of the Atterburys.
You lost me someplace, Liz. Come again.
Did you get a letter at the bank today?
Oh, your letter.
Yes, my letter.
I'm glad you reminded me. I forgot all about it.
Well, thanks a lot. Weren't you a little surprised when you opened it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was. I couldn't figure it out at first.
It sure sounded funny when he read it to me.
George Cooper, you didn't read my letter to Mr. Atterbury.
Well, sure. Why not? Oh, well, let's talk about it after dinner. It's not important.
Not important? We'll talk about it right now. What do you have to say about it?
Well, I think you ought to go.
You think I ought to go?
Well, sure. Well, don't worry about me. I'll get along fine. I don't know why you're crying. It'll be wonderful for both of us.
George Cooper, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You keep out of this, Iris. This is their affair.
Rudolph Atterbury, I think you even agree with that heel.
I do.
What?
As a matter of fact, since Liz is going, I think you should go too.
Take a hint. Let's go.
Gee, Mr. Atterbury, I had no idea this meant so much to the girls.
Those sororities really get a hold on them, don't they?
Well,
can't sit here all night, Iris. They close the green room at midnight.
You know, I've been thinking, Liz, I'm happy. And you should be. We're free.
Yeah, we're free.
No more bothersome husbands.
No more bothersome husbands.
No more smelly pipes and awful cigars.
No more wonderful pipes and lovely cigars.
No more cold feet in the middle of our butt.
This is the happiest day of my life.
Oh, we gotta stop crying. Is my mascara running?
Yes. Your face looks like it's behind bars.
Got a hanky?
Do you want to blow or mop?
Mop.
Well, here. Here's one dry corner left.
Thanks.
Iris!
Oh, oh, George!
Oh, George.
Oh. You two scatterbrains, you ran away for nothing.
We did?
Yes, yes, Kate told us about the letter you wrote. He never got it.
We were talking about your sorority reunion. The announcement came to the bank in care of me.
Oh, George, I'm so happy.
Me too.
Well, let's all stay here and have dinner. It'll be a celebration.
Okay, waiter, dear.
Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you. Now, which one wanted the lamb chop?
I'm ready and waiting, Lucille.
Well, you'd better be. I know we're going to talk about Jell-O, but how are we pudding it tonight?
Well, tonight... tonight, Lucille, we're not going to talk about Jell-O pudding.
We're not? You don't mean our connection has been severed.
No. No, indeed. We're going to sing about them.
Oh, good.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Old MacDonald had a farm.
J-E-L-L-O.
And Jell-O makes those fine desserts.
P-U-D-I-ing.
P-U-D-I-ings.
Well, let's see you make it come out right.
That's easy, Lucille. Jell-O puddings always come out right.
Oh, you're so smart.
Yes, that's because they're so easy that anyone can make them.
Is that so?
All you do is add milk, and they take just about 5 minutes to cook.
Is that so? Well, Bob, you and I know it, but old MacDonald, has he got it through his head?
Yeah, he sure has. I'll say he has. He's got a Jell-O pudding here, a Jell-O pudding there.
Here, vanilla there, a chocolate everywhere, a butterscotch.
When you buy Jell-O puddings, you have three marvelous flavors from which to choose.
What are they?
Jell-O chocolate, Jell-O vanilla, and Jell-O butterscotch.
A butterscotch, yeah.
And all three are chock full of real homemade goodness.
Chuck.
They're smooth and creamy. Yeah. They're rich tasting and distinctive. Yeah. And they're especially grand for summertime desserts, because they're so simple to prepare.
Oh, Bob, you're so worldly wise.
Oh, it's nothing, really. It's... Lucille... you know, it's like old MacDonald always says, Jell-O puddings for dessert.
Yum, 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 yum.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Lucille Ball can now be seen in the Paramount picture Sorrowful Jones. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband next week. Bob Lamond speaking.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Having a Ball Podcast.
You can find us everywhere. We are on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod on Twitter. We are on Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook and Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. And of course, if you want to send us any emails, comments, recommendations, havingaballpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.